Out of the Hat, I'm DJ TBN here on radio.dominican.edu. Today is Thursday, and it is 11:02 a.m., and we'll be starting today's show. Today's show, I want to touch on a, it's going to be kind of like a travel show, a little bit of a kind of a travel experience type of show today. And I want to talk about where I was recently, just about 2 weeks ago. I was on a border town, in a border town of Nogales, Sonora in Mexico. And it was super fun, and I want to share my experience with you and what it was like. It was my first time in Nogales, and I want to share with you what it's like to be in this town and very much a growing city. And the outside of Nogales, I want to share with you those places as well. So when we think of a border town, you know, we think of a town between Mexico and the United States, and we immediately think of drug and human trafficking. We'll think of illegal immigration and the border patrol. Those are the images that come to our minds first off. But the truth is that these are characteristics of these border towns and the U.S.-Mexico border in general, but they're not just the whole story. They're only a part of the story. And I recently spent the weekend in Nogales, Sonora, in Mexico, and I stayed in the city with family. I have an uncle who lives in Nogales. He works at one of the large factories, which is another characteristic of Nogales, the large factories that are there called maquiladoras. And he works at one of those. He is a supervisor there and a civil engineer there as well. And so I stayed in his home with his family and with my grandma. And it's really surprising because my uncle's house is only 15 minutes away from the U.S.-Mexico border. So I was really close to Arizona. It wasn't that I was deep into Nogales. It was very close. It's not that big of a city, but it is growing as a city. And that area of northern Mexico has developed its own culture. And I want to touch on that a little bit during today's show. And the city is part Mexican and part American. So we can see both of those cultures coming together and really meshing together to create this uniquely northern Mexican border town culture. And the people who live there have a special border crossing visa. So they are able to go into Arizona, Los Angeles, any other city, U.S. cities that are close by, and they are able to stay there for a little bit, but they have to go back, of course. It's not a permanent visa but my uncle has these cards, and it's so easy for him to just go across the border. Something interesting is that he does his shopping in Tucson, actually, which is only about an hour away from the border, and the border is about 15 minutes away from his house, so an hour 15 to get to Tucson, and he does his major shopping there, mostly Christmas, and he was telling me how busy it is during Christmas time to go to the border and cross over by car. It's actually faster to walk. And he was mentioning how the lines would be hours long, and sometimes they close down some of the lanes, the toll lanes, and it's such a nightmare for him. But Christmas is a major border crossing time, as is any other major holiday, Christmas season. Even Thanksgiving, even though it's not celebrated in Mexico formally, it's become part of the northern Mexican culture. So Christmas is a major border time, Thanksgiving, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, any time that's spent with family who might live across the border in the United States. And some people even head over to Phoenix, and that's a little further away, but people go into Arizona. My uncle usually wears a University of Arizona baseball cap, so it's interesting to see how the American culture has become very prevalent in northern Mexico. And in fact, when I was coming back, I had a flight leaving from Tucson to go to San Francisco, and it was surprising to see that the traffic signs in Arizona are posted in kilometers because of the proximity to Mexico. So they're posted in both kilometers and miles. Interesting to see there. And I thought I really enjoyed being in northern Mexico. It's mostly of a desert. And but I want to point something out is that, and I've said this already, but Nogales and other border towns still retain the culture of Mexico. And it's most obvious when it comes to the gastronomy of the area. And in this first segment on Out of the Hat, I want to talk about the gastronomy of and the culture of eating and food in Nogales, Sonora. So some foods that I tried while I was in Nogales was birria. Birria is essentially a stew of meat. It's just a stew with the meat, and it's served with tortillas and to accompany it. You may also have beans, general baked beans. What we know as baked beans, but in Mexico are known as frijoles de la olla, and they're just boiled beans, it's called the caldo, which is almost the broth that it creates, and it's often seasoned with onions and garlic and sometimes bell pepper, but served with beans, and it may be served with rice, and it's the kind of orangey rice that we are used to calling Spanish rice, and that is the Spanish rice. That's how I know birria. My mom is from the southwest region of Mexico. She's from Michoacan, and the way she serves birria is exactly like that. With the birria, the stew of the meat with Spanish rice, beans, frijoles de la olla, as they're known. And on top of the birria, the meat stew, they put on cilantro, and onion. And so it's kind of a refreshing, almost, you know, takes away from the heaviness of the meat with that onion and cilantro. And also what's very typical is, what's very good, a good pairing with it is an orange drink. So it may be an agua de naranja, which is almost like an orange juice, but a little more watered down. Or some other orange, maybe even orange soda for people who like soda. But that's how I know birria. And the birria I had in Nogales was the same. It was beef, and it was in the stew. But the stew was much thinner. It wasn't as thick. Not birria in the way I know it from the southern region of Mexico is not thick per se, but it's has a much more the broth is heavier. That's how I describe it. Heavier. And this one, it was much thinner. It was lighter. It didn't have as much flavor in the broth. Birria from the southwest part of Mexico is flavored with chili peppers and onion, sometimes even a little bit of tomato in there. And that taste makes it not spicy, but it creates this deep red color of the broth. But in Nogales, how I had it was a much thinner broth. It wasn't as red. It didn't have as much spice. So what we basically did is we went out to this birrieria, as they're known in Nogales, a place where they sell birria in the morning. This is a morning food. And so we went out to this place. My uncle went and picked it up. I stayed in the car, and we went back home. We took our birria, and we just put it. Took it out of the containers they gave us with it. We put the meat and some of the broth into a bowl, and my uncle picked up the tortillas. So we had two types of tortillas. We had these thicker homemade tortillas hechas a mano, homemade tortillas, and these were covered with a little bit of butter, which is the first time I've seen that. So it was butter on the tortillas, and we then after we went to go get those tortillas and the birria, we went to the local tortilleria where they sell the typicals, the tortillas we're used to seeing here, the thinner ones, and those are made through a tortilla press. So we had two types of tortillas. We had the butter tortillas, the homemade ones, and the store-bought ones. We had the birria, and then all we had left was the onion to put on the birria. And so that's what we had for breakfast, which is a heavy breakfast. I'm not used to having that much meat for breakfast. Birria is typically a dinner food when I eat it here. But we had it. It was pretty good. One thing is another difference I'd like to point out between these two birrias from different regions of Mexico is that the one where my mom is from is usually made with goat meat. And a lot of people will say, ew, goat meat, I would never eat that. But it's actually so delicious. It's lean, it's light. And this birria, which is essentially a meat stew, is so heavy. And having the goat takes away from that heaviness. It has a more, I would not say gamey, but an almost gamey flavor. It has to be prepared correctly. The goat has to be washed. It has much more bones in it. So it really adds to the flavor of the broth. So this goat birria, and that's actually originally from the state of Jalisco, which is very near Michoacán. And that's where that goat birria comes from. But this Nogales birria that I had, the border birria, had just basic beef in it. It was delicious. It came with a spicy little salsa. I just put a little bit on it because it was killer. And that was one of the foods I had in Nogales, this birria. And it was great to see the difference in regions because Mexico is such a large country with different regions, different accents, and different kinds of food. And each and the gastronomy of each region really tells you a lot about the history and the culture of that region. Another food I tried while I was in Nogales is aguachile. And aguachile is an interesting dish. It's a seafood dish, and it's known throughout northern Mexico. Aguachile is kind of like a ceviche, but with much more chile. And it's typically made of shrimp, and they're submerged in this liquid, and it's not like a thick liquid, it's not viscous, but it's also kind of thin. You got a lot of lemon in there, lime, and it's typically seasoned with chili peppers, that salt, and slices of onion and fresh veggies. So sometimes they put cucumbers, and that's what I had in mind. So it's an interesting dish. It's a departure from the typical ceviche that I know. Ceviche is usually fish that's been cured, or not cured, but cooked essentially in lime juice. And you'll take raw fish and slice it thinly and cube it up, and then you'll put it in lime juice, let it sit, sometimes even overnight. And that'll cook essentially the fish, and then you mix it with a bunch of veggies. You'll put in onion, tomato, cilantro, sometimes cucumber, and then that's ceviche. So aguachile is different because it's usually made just of shrimp, and it includes other seafood. Mariscos is what they're known as in Mexico. Seafood is marisco. And the one I had was a darker colored aguachile. Usually aguachile is kind of greenish in color. The one I had was more, which was darker. It was like a deep red color because of different spices that were used. And so aguachile is a typical northwestern food of Mexico. And it's thought to actually be from Sinaloa, which is where my dad is originally from. That's where the state he was born in. And it's actually it's a very spicy dish. I found when I was eating mine, they used chiltepines, which are these small round peppers that are really spicy, and mine was really spicy. I'm not a big fan of spicy food, but it was a good spice. And it was good. Mine had actually shrimp. It had raw shrimp, which was cooked in or left in that lime to treat it. And then it had cooked shrimp. It had octopus, which is really delicious. Scallops. And some kind of a clam in there. So it was a really good dish, really light, typically served with tortilla chips or saltine crackers. We had my uncle went out and got the aguachile for us, and he got another dish called agasajo, which is it's similar to aguachile but with different ingredients. And so we had that. It came with tortilla chips and it came with saltine crackers. Something I found interesting is that my uncle's wife actually was eating her agasajo, which is the other seafood dish. And she was eating it with tortilla chips, but she was putting mayonnaise on the tortilla chips, which I found interesting. I'm not a fan of mayonnaise. I really don't like mayonnaise. So I found that really interesting for her to be eating tortilla chips with mayonnaise and the seafood dish. But something new, and maybe, you know, that kind of adding that fat in there of the mayonnaise, you know, balances out the refreshing taste and of the seafood dishes. So I thought that was interesting. And I just wanted to touch briefly on tortillas de harina, one of the other foods of northern Mexico. And when we come back here on Out of the Hat, we'll talk about tortillas de harina and why they're really a staple of the northern Mexico cuisine and what makes them different from the tortillas de harina that we know here. You're listening to the Out of the Hat on radio.dominican.edu. We feature a new topic each week, and this week's topic is border towns in northern Mexico. I'm DJ TBN. We'll be right back. We're live here at radio.dominican.edu. This is Out of the Hat with DJ TBN. Today's topic is Nogales, border town of of Mexico. And I was recently in Nogales, and I want to share my experiences with you today of what it was like to be in this border town and try out the different culture, customs and experience the different culture of northern Mexico. I was just talking about the gastronomy of Nogales in northern Mexico, and we talked about birria, we talked about aguachile, and I'm now going to touch on flour tortillas, tortillas de harina, as they're known in Mexico. Distinctly northern from northern Mexico, tortillas de harina are what we know as the burrito tortillas here. They're the ones that we wrap our burritos in, fajitas. We're actually used to seeing them fairly a lot here in the United States. But for the rest of Mexico, flour tortillas are are not typically eaten with savory food. The tortillas that are used are the corn tortillas, the smaller corn tortillas, and they're equally as delicious. But flour tortillas have a difference from them, and they come they come from the flour, the wheat. And not that the corn, which is corn, is pre-Hispanic. It predates Europeans coming to Mexico. So, flour tortillas really sprung up and were a thing that was eaten after the Europeans arrived in the Americas. And they're originally derived from the corn tortilla, but interesting note is that flour tortillas were an innovation created by the exiled Spanish Jews, and in Judaism, cornmeal to them was not considered kosher. So the wheat was brought over from Europe, while Mexico was known as New Spain, and it was made with an unleavened water-based dough and pressed and cooked like corn tortillas. Flour tortillas have this natural sweetness to them that corn tortillas do not have. And flour tortillas are commonly prepared with meat and sometimes even mashed potatoes, cheese. And they're used in tacos here, quesadillas, and burritos. And those burritos are not Mexican, actually. They originate in Texas and other border towns like Ciudad Juarez and El Paso, Texas. So these tortillas are used a lot in our American food. And they're used a lot in northern Mexico, but not other parts of Mexico. My grandma actually knows how to make them by hand. She makes them homemade. Hechas a mano, as they're called, and they're really delicious with cheese, and sometimes you can add a little bit of some people add cajeta to them. Cajeta is almost a thicker caramel that's used in Mexico for sweets and for different sweet breads, and added to tortillas sometimes. My dad actually just likes eating them with honey. He puts a little honey on them, and he really enjoys them. I like them with steak. They're really good with steak, these tortillas de harina. So very different from the ones that we know here in the United States. That we know in other parts of Mexico. So just some of the food that I tried there that I've shared with you. Birria, aguachile, tortillas de harina. Also those chiltepinos. I touched on those chiltepines, those little spicy peppers. I touched a little bit on them when I talked about the aguachile. But they're these very small round peppers used a lot in northern Mexico. They're originally from Sinaloa, which is just under Sonora. Sonora is a huge state. It takes about 13 hours to get to Sinaloa. But the chiltepines have now been cultivated in Sonora as well. And so they're these small round green peppers. They're really incredibly spicy, really spicy. They usually sell them in little cans, or sometimes people will jar their own, and they're really good, but really spicy. They're great to add to soups because you don't need too many to add that spicy kick. And they're really popular. People have them for with breakfast. I saw some people at a restaurant order a plate of eggs and with their tortillas and another meat and a type of meat they call machaca. And I'll explain a little bit later, but with their chitapinas, so they would take a bite of their eggs with the tortilla, and then they would take a little bite of the chitapino, and it was like so spicy, and people were like drinking water. But in this breakfast, which is really popular in northern Mexico, is machaca, which is a kind of meat that it's almost like beef jerky. But it's been shredded to my little tiny, tiny little shreds. It looks like mulch, if anyone's familiar with gardening. It looks like mulch or if you ever see a redwood tree and it starts kind of, if you pull off the bark and it comes up in these stringy, really thin, kind of reddish brown color. That's what the machaca looks like, exactly like that. And it's been toasted. And then it's sold. So it's meat, and it's this whole process of making it. It takes, I think, about, I believe, like 8 kilos of meat to make 2 kilos of machaca. So it's a lot of meat into this to make this little stringy meat, but it's really delicious. It's eaten with potatoes, with eggs, sauteed with veggies. And the way to make it is because you take the machaca, you toast it a little bit in a pan, but you don't add any oil. You don't add any oil because of this meat has been dehydrated. So you'll take it from the bag, wherever you have it. It's kept in the fridge. You can't really keep it at room temperature. It has to be cold. So you take it, you put it in your pan, it heats up, and you start toasting it even more, and it starts releasing this really meaty scent. You toast it, you separate that, then you prepare your eggs. You might saute a little bit of, sweat some onions, maybe some tomato in there. Sometimes even bell pepper. So bell pepper, tomatoes, and onion. You sweat it all down. Get your eggs, mix it in. And then you mix in the machaca and you make scrambled eggs and machaca. And it's really good. A great hearty breakfast for people who like to have meat for breakfast. So that's another food of Sonora and northern Mexico. And I actually brought back some machaca for my family, for my mom, my dad. And it's pretty good. We've had it for breakfast, and it's a really delicious food. And in my next segment, I want to transition a little bit. We've talked about Nogales and Sonora and the food, but I want to talk about Sonora itself. It's actually the largest state, the second largest state after Chihuahua, which is borders Sonora on the eastern side. It covers all the way down to Sinaloa, borders Chihuahua, and it touches Baja California, where Tijuana is, and it has a lot of the U.S. border going at the top of it. And so it's a massive state with huge culture and a different kinds of culture from the rest of Mexico. And when I was in Sonora, I went outside of Sonora, actually, to Magdalena de Quino, which is a small town outside of Nogales. And it was so beautiful just going there. We got in the car early at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, and we all piled into the car. We took a road trip, and we started going through this beautiful desert landscape and the clouds, just beautiful against the blue sky. Something about the desert, it just creates a really gorgeous sky with the clouds in the back. We drove through, and it was actually fairly green. The rainy season had just ended, there was a lot of green hills, and it made me nostalgic for the green hills of California, which are now actually dry from our drought, but really beautiful landscapes. And we saw some of the people who still live in traditional ranching communities. Once you start leaving Nogales, you hit the first town you hit is Imuris, Sonora, interesting name, Imuris. But we hit it there. We went to, we were on our way to Magdalena de Quino, and we saw people with cows, people riding horses, people dressed with cowboy hats and cowboy boots, and just living the traditional way of life. That was that's what it was known for back. Back then, it was a ranching place, and really living that cowboy and cowgirl lifestyle. And a unique thing about Imuris and the towns around there, like Santa Ana, is that there's these great big ranches that are actually available to rent for parties. And these beautiful ranches, huge, beautiful stonework, large pools, gardens. Some of them had cows on them, and sheep and goats and horses, and you can rent them for birthday parties or for wedding anniversaries or weddings too. There's beautiful ranches, and I like seeing that there. As we started getting closer to Magdalena de Quino, we started seeing more of the people selling the preserved food and that canned and jarred food. People selling chiltepinos by the side of the road. Dried chili peppers was a big one in Imuris. And in Imuris, we actually stopped to get breakfast at this really cute restaurant called Restaurante Alma. And it was cow themed. The entire restaurant was covered in cow print. And there were little baby, cows inside, strung from side to side, from all covering the entire perimeter of the inside were stuffed cows. There was cow art on the walls, a really cool place. The outside of the restaurant was painted in black and white, like a cow. It was a very bovine friendly place. And they actually had a sign on the front of the restaurant that said, "We serve cow meat," which is pretty funny, but it was in Spanish. And there was this cool little restaurant there in Imuris. And inside they also serve, sold a lot of preserved food, and they had these huge balls of popcorn, this kind of a caramel popcorn, and they shaped it into these huge balls, and it was pretty cool to see. They had they sold machaca, they sold chiltepinos, canned peaches, so many different cool things. Blocks of made with membrillo, which is, I believe, quince. I think that's what it's called, quince. It's this like fruit, and it's shaped into these big blocks that can be in. Or they also had these essentially big giant fruit roll ups made with guava. They were selling there. Really cool experience. There, I actually think I got. What did I get? Oh, I got a bowl of oatmeal, really yummy oatmeal. It wasn't too sweet. They served it with this delicious bread. But something that my grandma had, which is another typical dish of northern Mexico, she had caldo de queso, which is cheese soup. So it's a soup that they add cheese blocks to it. So it melts, but doesn't melt completely. And then they add potatoes to it, and another... interesting thing, they add cilantro to it, which I love cilantro when it's not cooked. I completely hate and despise it when it's cooked. I don't know, it just releases this flavor that I really don't enjoy. I like it raw, but she had it and she was really enjoying that. She gave me some of the cheese. The cheese was a little strong for me. It was a local cheese. I wasn't sure what it was called, but it was a little stronger and I really didn't like it, but she enjoyed it. So she had that there at the restaurant. Really great restaurant, great service, good atmosphere. I love their theme. So if you ever find yourself in Imuris, in Sonora, Mexico, I recommend this restaurant on the side of the road, Restaurant Alma. And so as we continued our expedition to Magdalena de Quino, we started noticing that there's these people walking on the sides of the road. And these people are known as caminantes, and they are the ones who walk from Nogales all the way to they walk from Nogales all the way to Magdalena de Quino. And the reason being is that Magdalena de Quino is a religious festival. And I'll touch that in my third segment. But these people walk 90 kilometers all, you know, by themselves. Sometimes they travel with family or friends. And it's a sign that it's almost a pilgrimage to go see a saint known as San Francisco in the town of Magdalena de Quino in Nogales, in Sonora. And people had, jugs of water with them. They were carrying backpacks. They looked absolutely exhausted. And it was pretty warm, too. It wasn't extremely hot, but it was fairly warm. And to be walking, you know, all the way to Magdalena de Quino, which is pretty far away. So that's an interesting fact, is that we saw those people. And actually, before we reached Imuris, I wanted to touch on this too. We saw this whole little shrine, a section of highway that was almost a shrine for something called the Santa Muerte, or the Holy Death. And it's this almost cult following of people who worship the Santa Muerte, which is a pre-Columbian deity that was worshipped by the Mayans and the Aztecs, but now has become almost the patron saint of people who are involved with the drug trafficking business, or people involved with outlaw criminal activities. And there's this whole shrine. It was about seven little capillas, which are little like little altars, and they were all filled with the Santa Muerte, and they all had these offerings to the Santa Muerte. Very creepy, but very interesting to see this. And in our next section, I want to talk about the actual festival at Magdalena de Quino, what it's about and how it came to be, and what's entailed for the future of this festival. Keep listening here on radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to Out of the Hat. We'll be right back. I'm DJ TBN.
Tell me.
Hello, we're back here on Out of the Hat. I'm DJ TBN here on radio.dominican.edu. In this week's show, we've been talking about Nogales, Sonora, northern Mexico, and just general border towns and what it's like. I was recently in Nogales and got to travel around Sonora a little bit, or just the places near Nogales. One of the places I went to was Magdalena de Quino, a small town about 90 kilometers to the south of Nogales. And while we were there, while I was there actually, it was a very good time to be there because the annual October Festival was going on. I was there the weekend of October 3rd through the 4th, and that is when the Fiestas de Octubre, or October Festival, goes on. And this is a festival honoring the Saint San Francisco Javier. This saint is the patron saint of Magdalena de Quino. And something people describe it as is traveling deep into a religious and cultural and historical experience. And thousands of people go to Magdalena de Quino to carry out their offerings, as it's known, for San Francisco Javier, which is many people believe it has the ability to heal and to help people with their problems and worries. And when I was there, I actually got to see this going on. So as we were driving to Magdalena de Quino, we saw some of the what's known as caminantes, people who make the pilgrimage from Nogales or other places of Mexico. I went around and interviewed people. I'm working on a story for the Dominican Beat newspaper here at school, and I'm working on a story about what it's like to go to Magdalena de Quino and what it's like for the faithful to really want to go there and get healed. Some of them have issues with health issues. Some of them just wanted to be successful in their life, and they just wanted they have this faith in this saint. And I interviewed people, and there were some people that were going there from Durango in Mexico, which is another state near Sinaloa. There was people who were there from Nogales, from Chihuahua, from Sinaloa. I actually met some guys who were coming over from Tucson, Arizona. They wanted to go check out the festival. They heard a lot about it. And I learned a lot about what these people's faith really means to them, and what it means to believe in this saint, which, you know, I don't really believe in it, but it's interesting to see how devoted these people are to getting healed and the belief that this saint can do it. And so Magdalena de Quino is a very interesting place. It's designated as a Pueblo Mágico of Mexico, which is almost like a magic town. It's designated Pueblo Mágico because of its tradition. And this festival, the October Festival, actually goes back 300 years to when the saint was first believed to have cast its first miracle. And we saw the people waiting in line, and some people were waiting about 5 or 6 hours in line just to go lift up the saint. What they do is the saint is in this little basilica, which is a little kind of church, and he is there, and people go and raise up the saint and try to give it a kiss. And if they can lift up the saint, it means they have faith and that their wish will be will happen. The saint will make it come true. And some people couldn't lift up the saint, which was interesting. So I don't know how heavy it was. I was able to go into the area where the saint was. I talked to the people in charge and told them I was doing a story for my school's newspaper. And I got to film it, and some people couldn't lift it up. And I found that surprising because some people lifted it with such ease. I don't know if it's maybe a mind thing, something in those people's minds, or if the effigy is actually really heavy. So that was an interesting thing to see. People were lighting candles outside of the church in the chapel. People were, once they came out of lifting up the saint, they were greeted with banda music, which is a very traditional of northern Mexico. It's music played with a clarinet. There's a tuba, a bass drum, a snare drum. And they had, it's almost reminiscent of polka music, which was brought over by people who came to the New Spain to now modern day Mexico. So a lot of culture going on there in Magdalena de Quino. Another thing I found interesting, which I'll explore in my my story for the Dominican beat, is the mix of pagan and Catholic culture. We saw the huge cathedral, people inside the service. There was a mass when I was there. Of course, it was Sunday. There was people trying to lift up the saint, bringing it offerings, people wearing rosaries, people lighting candles for the saint. But right outside the cathedral, there was an interesting ritual dance going on, and it was put on by the Yaqui people. And this dance was the Danza del Venado that the Yaqui people do, and it's a ritual dance. The Yaqui people are indigenous people of northern Mexico, mostly in Sonora, a little bit in Chihuahua and Sinaloa, and they're closely related to the Mayo people, which are another indigenous group, and they have this belief in belief systems centered around white-tailed deer, which are native to that area. And what they do is they have a young man perform this dance, and so I was watching them get ready, and it was three older men from the Yaqui tribe. They had a series of instruments, very interesting instruments. One of them was a kind of a half bowl type of instrument. It was a half a bowl. Like a half circle. It was painted red with some markings on there, and it was put into a kind of a big bowl with filled with water, and it floated on top, so it looked like it was made out of some sort of wood. And then the man took this long reed looking stick. I think it was a reed, like, but thicker, and it had some sort of little dangly thing on it, and he was hitting the bowl on the with the reed stick, and at the same time was chanting something in the Yaqui language. Another man had another instrument. It looked like another percussion instrument. He was also chanting, and the other man was also chanting. So they all started chanting with these percussive instruments, a very primordial type of song. And the young man covered his eyes. He was wearing a loincloth with some other accessories, some beads, some necklaces. He had these things wrapped around his foot and his ankle, and they made some noise. It was like a jingly noise. And he started wrapping his eyes and putting a bandana around them, a white cloth, actually. It was a white cloth around them. And then on top, it was a taxidermy head of a deer. It looked like it was stuffed, and it looked like it was real, and it was attached to straps, and he tied that around on top of his head. So that was on top of his head. His eyes were covered, and he was wearing the accessories, and he started doing the Danza del Venado, the deer dance. And the men were chanting in their language, and he started going around in an almost kind of a very, very animalistic way, and going around imitating how the deer would walk and how it would prance around. And he it really embodied the deer, and you could see that there is so much respect for the deer in the Yaqui culture, and it's the main deity in their culture. And it's actually one of the reasons that the Yaqui and Mayo people were so hard to take down. The Spanish had a lot of difficulty tracking them down and, you know, making them their slaves or any other, or wiping them out, you know, getting rid of the indigenous people, because these people thought that they were deer. They really believed that they had the power of the deer. And so they would, you know, prance around, but not prance around, but run away. They were so nimble on their feet and able to avoid being captured. But a very interesting thing to see is that this pagan, what is considered pagan religion, and it is a ritual dance, being demonstrated outside of a cathedral, just a mixing of cultures. And that's what really Mexico is, that mixing of cultures and beliefs and traditions. And the people are mixed and have all this kind of different backgrounds. And so that was interesting to see there. I really liked watching the Danza del Venado. I've always been very interested in it. And I got some great footage. They'll be going in my story for the Dominican Beat. It'll be coming out probably next week. So keep your eye out that for that. It'll be on thedominicanbeat.org. So it'll be a great video to watch if you're interested, if this week's show has gotten you interested in Northern Mexico or Magdalena de Quino and the traditions that go along with it. So not just a religious festival, Magdalena de Quino also featured a big fair and lots of celebration. And people who made the pilgrimage, a lot of them had camping tents, so people were camping out there. And it's a three-day festival. It starts Friday. Saturday is the big day to party at night. A lot of people were drunk. You could see there were people passed out on the street. So we had the religious and cultural festivities, and then just the pure debauchery that goes on. People were passed out, and there were people laying in the plaza. There was trash everywhere. But behind the plaza, there is a big fair going on. I went there with my cousin, and we went around, and there was so much different food. There was churros, there was piña coladas, there is all kinds of food, you know, fruits and in bowls with salt and lime. And we went to the little fair area, the carnival area, and we saw these rickety rides everywhere, and we just decided it would be safer. We didn't go on them. But it was nice to be in that atmosphere, in that carnival atmosphere, and nice to experience this festival, which I thought was very unique and a great way to spend my Sunday. I got to see the religious part of it, the traditional and the cultural part, as well as the fun atmosphere there. So I enjoyed Magdalena de Quino. I actually got to interview the president of the tourism board there, and she talked about the desire to be recognized as a World Heritage Site because of the many years of tradition there and the over 300 years of that festival occurring there. And she talked about people coming over later in October to discuss if that would be a possibility. So great, it would be great to see this town be recognized for its traditions. And if you're interested in Magdalena de Quino, I encourage you to check out visitmexico.com and look up Sonora and find Magdalena de Quino there. And it's a very fun place to go if you're ever interested in going to Sonora. It's a very easy weekend trip to take, just flying over to Tucson. You know, you can even drive down or fly into an airport there. In Nogales, there's an airport as well. I also wanted to touch about the artisans that were at the festival selling their bracelets. I got a bracelet I'm actually wearing right now. There's people selling hats and wallets and beautiful pottery, beautiful bracelets. So if you're ever in Magdalena de Quino, be sure to support the local artisans and the people making these things to sell. But overall, this has been my show for this week. I just wanted to share what it was like to be in Mexico and how fun it was to experience all these new things. And there's so much more I wanted to cover in this week's show, but we have run out of time. But if you're ever interested in taking a day, not a day trip, a weekend trip to Mexico, I encourage you to go to Sonora. Experience Nogales. It's not dangerous at all. I walked around at night. Nothing happened to me. You know, you do have to be careful where you are and what you're doing. But, you know, go take some friends. Take a weekend to go down there. There's great hotels. Some of the smaller towns have a nice big inns and bed and breakfasts. And I encourage you to go to Imuris if you're in Nogales. Go to Magdalena de Quino. There's always lots to do, lots to see, and lots to learn. But this has been my week's show, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I wish I could keep going on and on about what it was like. But I hope you listen soon to Out of the Hat here on radio.dominican.edu. One more announcement. I'd like to encourage you to listen to the volleyball broadcast. These are our home games. I am the official play-by-play announcer for women's volleyball. And I would encourage you to listen to our next broadcast, which is October 22nd at 7 p.m. It is also blackout night at the volleyball broadcast. So the entire crowd will be hopefully wearing black as the Penguins face their next rival. So make sure to tune into that on radio.dominican.edu. There are also soccer broadcasts and lacrosse broadcasts. So make sure to check radio.dominican.edu for those next dates. But this has been my show for this week. I'm DJ TBN, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.